Welcome to Legacy Therapy, the podcast that will teach you, in bite-sized chunks, how to leave a stress-free legacy so loved ones can focus on people, not paperwork, when you become ill or pass away. Here is your host and financial advocate, Stacey Golden-Lisnock.
Okay, hello, and welcome to the ninth episode of Legacy Therapy, Planning Techniques for a Stress-Free Legacy. And today I'm really excited to introduce my guest, Tatiana Bunich. She is the president and CEO of Financial One Wealth Management Group and a certified estate planner. She's served clients since 1991 and began her career in financial services in New York City. While in New York City, she worked at Chase Wealth Management Group and USI Insurance Services, where she worked with high net worth individuals, advising clients on issues such as tax, retirement, investment, long-term care, and estate planning. Tatiana now resides in Baltimore, and she specializes in the senior market, helping seniors to manage their net worth. She believes in educating families on how to develop simple, measurable, and comprehensive retirement plans. In addition to running her company, Tatiana is the mother of three beautiful children, Sammy, Alana, and Kayla. In her spare time, she enjoys spending time with her children, photography, baking, and volunteering in the community. Tatiana's also been featured in several magazines and articles, The Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger, U.S. News and World Report, Market Watch, Girl Boss, and Bankrate. So with all of that, I would love to welcome Tatiana to the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
I'm really excited to get into the topic, and I know you like to talk about the tax issues that people face, and sometimes they don't really realize what they're setting themselves up for. So can you talk a little bit on that, and then we'll kind of go from there, because I'm really excited to hear what you have to say on this topic.
Yeah, for sure. It's my favorite topic to talk about is proactive tax planning and making it efficient. What most people don't realize is when they retire, they have typically accumulated significant retirement accounts, whether it be 401ks, 403bs, 457s, TSPs, and there are many other titles. But what it all boils down to is they are what we call qualified accounts, which are IRAs. And IRAs face significant taxes for the clients as well as for their beneficiaries down the road. What we do with most of our clients with the larger qualified accounts, when they pass on, we create what's called a stretch IRA for their beneficiaries. Stretch IRAs are amazing because they stretch out the tax burden over many, many years. Now, up until December of 2019, which was just not that long ago, you were able to stretch out an inherited for lifetime, no matter who the beneficiary is. Well, the new SECURE Act, which got signed in December of 2019, had many changes, but one of the most significant ones affecting our clients, the senior market, is that the inherited stretch is no longer lifetime. It's now 10 years. And that is huge, huge, huge. I cannot stress how big this change is for people with large IRAs. And I'll give you a couple examples. Now, if you're a spouse, you still get lifetime. But if you're not a spouse, if you're a child or a grandchild, which is more typical, after the second death especially, there it's 10 years. So if we just take $1 million IRA, by the time you pay federal, if someone inherits $1 million IRA today, and they just take it out. You know, they call 1-800, my so-and-so passed away. They're going to hear, I'm so sorry for your loss. I want to confirm your name and address, and we'll mail you out the paperwork. Check off a box, send it back, and we'll mail you the check. And that's what happens most of the time. And then the beneficiaries get this piece of paper. They check the box one, which says, send me the money. And they get the money. And what they don't realize is how much tax they're going to owe on that money. They see a $1 million account, and most of the time, they don't ask for extra withholding. The 1-800 is going to say, how much do you want withheld? Or they have to check off on that box. And people will always say, I want the least amount. They want the least amount withheld. What they don't understand is the least amount withheld is not the least amount paid, because you still owe that tax when you go to do your taxes the following year. And what many financial institutions have a minimum, some are 10%, some are 20% on the federal. Most have a zero on state. And if you live in a state where there are taxes, which is most of our states, when you go to do your taxes the following year, you only typically pay 20% in taxes if you got lucky. And really, the financial burden is somewhere around 40%. So you're still at about 20%. And by the time you do your taxes, most people have spent that money and don't even have that 20% to pay.
Right. Isn't it amazing that somebody can save their whole life and then the beneficiary can literally blow that money? I think there's an average. Isn't it something like 2 years that the people...
Stacy, this is so painful for me. Yeah. To talk about, because yes, what happens is their parents saved their entire life. And not only did they save their entire life, they didn't spend it on things that they wanted. They didn't go on that trip. They didn't buy that thing because they were savers. They're from a generation of savers, especially many are immigrants from different countries, and they worked so hard to save that money for their children and grandchildren, for a legacy. And it is so often, it's blown so fast. Like you said, the average, I think, really is around 2 years. And I've seen it go even faster. I've seen it go in 3 months. I've seen it go in 1 month. And it's very unfortunate because it's spent on things like cars and, you know, maybe a house or a remodeling of a house or a boat or a vacation home. That one big luxury item that you can't do on your own, that's what it's typically spent on. And your parents or grandparents didn't take that trip. They didn't buy that thing so they could continue to save. And it's just boom, wham, bam. And to pour salt on that wound, I'm going to pour 2 ounces of salt on that wound. One is, mm-hmm. that's if you're lucky. If you have good kids, you get mm-hmm. the house, mm-hmm. the car. Today, unfortunately, we have a huge drug epidemic in our country. And I have seen it blown on drugs. And that is probably the most painful to watch.
Yeah. That's crazy. So there are ways that you could make your wishes, you know, followed in death, right? Where if you didn't just leave the money outright, there could be rules explain that a little bit, where they actually say at a certain age you get so much and that. And I think that people do that so that this exact thing doesn't happen to their legacy. Is that happen a lot, or do people not really do that even though it's available?
Yeah, Stacy, what you're talking about is leaving money in a trust mm-hmm. and tiered or graded, right, where they get X amount at 20, X amount at 30, X amount at 40. And that definitely has its benefits, but that also has some problems with it. In addition, that is typically done for non-IRA, non-qualified money. because what happens with IRA accounts is, and this is another thing most people don't realize, is that people create trusts or wills and have a set of beneficiaries, X, Y, and Z in percentages. And then on their 401k plan at work, which they started 30 or 40 years ago, they have a whole different set of beneficiaries and a whole different set of percentages. And what people don't realize is that beneficiary designations on qualified accounts, as well as life insurance policies, does not go by the will or the trust. It goes by what's on that beneficiary designation. Whatever is, that supersedes the will or trust. Most people think the will or the trust supersedes beneficiary designations. So if the IRAs or the 401ks, it's all the same, if they're not passing through the will or the trust, they're just passing straight outside to avoid probate. Because if there's no beneficiary designations at all, which just happens too, believe it or not, Now you've turned a non-probate asset into probate. And that's a whole conversation within itself. And, you know, that's...
Right. You add so much more as in addition to the taxes that are owed. Now you have to actually pay to actually get access to the money legally.
Exactly.
Because probate, I think a lot of people don't get, and I, you know, at one point didn't understand it either when I finally realized probate is really just the legal formality to actually have the right to the funds or to the property or whatever so that you can transact it. Like if you had a home and you had to take it through probate, it's so that the title can change so that you have, because you can't sell somebody else's house. It's got their name on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that costs a lot of money. You have to get lawyers. And it's not just a one-time court appearance, right?
No, my God. It could go on for so long. It depending on how much and how many people are involved and what the wars are and fighting between the different parties. I mean, it could go on, you know, probate in Maryland. If everything is simple, easy, and there's no fighting, you're looking at a minimum of 6 months.
Yeah, I think
that's fair minimum.
More. Yeah, California has a bad rep for that.
But Stacey, that's if there's no fighting and no disagreements, which many times there is, and then that can go on for years and years and years. People can fight over this stuff, right?
Right.
We've also seen where on the beneficiaries, just because we were talking about that for a minute, you know, today the divorce rate's over 50%, right?
Right.
So someone who got divorced and is still at their, retired from a job they were at 30 or 40 years, guess what? Oftentimes their beneficiaries are ex-wife. They never changed it.
Right.
And, you know, that's not what they want. But that's why I want to stress the importance of working with a comprehensive wealth management firm like ours. These are the things we look for. We make sure your beneficiary designations are accurate. We work so hard for every one of our clients to make their money, their estates, pass probate-free with the most tax efficient possible.
When you really look at an estate, that tax part can just be it can just wipe so much of it out. And so all of your great intentions of doing financial planning and being the saver and being this great investor and accumulating properties and doing all this stuff, it's almost like a monopoly game of life. You go to the grave not realizing or ever knowing that all of that good work mostly went to the government and to lawyers and to the detriment of your beneficiary's life, because it takes and robs their time that they have left on this earth. We all only have so much time. And if their time is then hijacked by having to settle your estate, which then gets very complex and it's very stressful, because who likes to deal with lawyers and courts and stuff? It's so stressful. I don't think that's what anybody really would want for their family. And so having these conversations and getting people just aware, and that's why I call this legacy therapy, right? Because we're mostly hearing a lot of stories of how things went awry. And it was just because they were not advised, they didn't know, they didn't plan properly, or they tried to be their own lawyer, financial planner, everything. And they think that they could figure it out on their own. And that's really not the case. It's very complex.
Well, thank you for all that. And you just said so much amazing stuff. And, you know, when you said, I literally felt the pain in my heart, because so much of what we do is in the heart. It looks like it's math and it looks like it's dollars and cents, but it's really in the heart. And one of the things you said that really touched my heart and that pains me every day in doing what I do is seeing all that money go to waste, seeing all that inefficiency, and knowing in my heart of hearts that that person, that's not what they would have had wanted had they worked with someone or had they known better. People don't make these mistakes because they want to. They make these mistakes because they don't know better. And they don't know better, and they don't have the proper guidance. And you also said something critical about how unique we are at Financial One, because we truly, and our slogan is, it all works better when it works together. And we literally have the tax planning, the estate planning, the wealth management, the protection, all under one roof. We don't farm you out to anyone. We have the attorney, we have the CPA, we have myself as the financial director and the wealth manager to oversee all of it. And that is such a unique setup. And Stacy, it is so true. I always go, well, why didn't my CPA tell me? Why didn't my lawyer tell me? Why didn't my financial advisor tell me? Because your financial advisor is managing your money, and that's all they're doing. Most financial advisors have never asked to see that client's tax return. They have no idea the kind of taxes they're causing in the gains department for that client. The lawyer has no idea what the wealth management, what the investments look like, or the tax return looks like. The CPA has no idea what's going on with the investments or the legal. So this financial director, which is the role I play at Financial One, where I know the ins and outs of every one of our families, so that exactly so this inefficiency doesn't happen. And this center is the center, we can call it the heart, that's actually cute. That's where it's all at. So when you're here with this one and here with that one and there with that one, you're missing that heart center. You're missing that most important part of the efficiency. And just to throw out a number, if we go back to our $1 million IRA, we're talking in a taxable state, we're talking a minimum of $400,000 in taxes, Stacy. $400,000 in taxes if nothing is done properly. I mean, that's huge. What person who's worked their whole life and scraped and saved that million can sleep at night if they actually knew that $400,000 is going to Uncle Sam and not their family?
Well, and then the person that inherited the money, you know, sometimes it's like, be careful what you ask for. And everything has its consequences, even if you win the lottery, even if you get this big inheritance. The consequences to that could be that you are then in hock to the IRS for the rest of your life, and there's somebody that you don't want to owe because they just constantly are adding penalties and interest, and that $400,000 could become $1 million, and you're just like, you know, it could cause you to go over the edge. It definitely cause you stress and sleepless nights, but you'll be so upset of ever getting the damn inheritance, right? It's like the people that win the lottery and end up dead. It happens. Money has its own personality, and it just depends on how you can manage that personality of how it actually affects your life and your family and everything.
Terrible. Stacy, you literally just hit the nail on the head. If you remember, I said I'm going to pour salt on a wound. That mm-hmm. was the wound. That's what we didn't get to, but that's the wound. So what happens is, they have this big tax bill, and I talk about this at my workshops. I do workshops often. We have two coming up next week, two at the end of the month. I did two last week. We constantly have these tax planning and retirement planning workshops, and I spend quite a bit of time on this. And this is so that $400,000, by the time they go to do their taxes, that money's been spent. They don't have that money. And that's a lot of money. So even if 20% was withheld, they still have a $200,000 tax bill. Like you said, people who inherit this kind of money don't have $200,000 sitting in the bank to pay Uncle Sam. So what do they do? This is the salt on that wound. To make it worse, they now go on a payment plan. You know how long a payment plan for $200,000 is? With interest and penalties. I mean, this really can turn back into $1 million. Right. So what happened? That whole million was really a loan from the government because you're paying it all back. So your father or mother or grandfather or grandmother saved their entire life. And all you're doing is you're taking that million and handing it back to Uncle Sam. Oh my God. Can you just feel that? How painful is that?
Yeah. It would kill those people if they weren't already dead because it just has this, there's, you know, your conversation around money comes from generations. And I think this last generation that, you know, we're in right now didn't get that lesson so much because of all the advertising and all of the temptations and all the keeping up with the Joneses. And there's just so much more you can spend big money on. Right. I mean, for that generation, there wasn't as much to spend the money on. And so they were able to keep it a little bit easier. There weren't so many things pulling on their ego, I guess, you know. So it's sad. I mean, and, you know, I feel your pain. And I personally know some people. I know, you know, tons because that's what you do. But I have a friend that actually, I think, he was advised incorrectly, but the when he inherited money from his mother's IRA, it was split three ways and it was in a brokerage account. And the broker refused to transfer the money in whole, required them to liquidate, and then they just got checks for the money. Well, then now he's in hock to the IRS for this. He ended up getting $52,000. And so it's like, unbeknownst to him, this was something that was done to him by the person at the brokerage that said, oh, no, we can't make three separate IRAs. It has to be liquidated and distributed. End of story. They don't know any better. That's what they did. And when I found out about it, I'm like, that should not have happened. They should have been able to transfer their portion over into their own IRA. Is that not correct? You know more
exactly.
than I do.
They should have been able to have the opportunity to do the stretch. And right. What did that happen in prior to 2020?
Yes.
So prior to 2020, they would have had the lifetime stretch. They would have been winners across the board. Win, win, win. And it became a loss, loss, loss.
Yeah. Dealing with the IRS is it's a harrowing thing. I mean, they are brutal. And actually, I'm in California, and California is actually worse than the IRS. They're horrible.
But what the error in that case was actually not the IRS. It was the brokerage house that those clients worked with. That's where the error occurred. That brokerage house should have set up three individual inherited stretches, one for each of the people, and transferred from that one account into three different accounts, not sent checks. And that's exactly that 1-800 check the box problem. They said they got a letter, they checked the box, and now they got a check, and now it's done. Once it's done, that is not something you can go back on.
Right. And you know what I found too? So that, and this is something that people really have to understand. So like, listen up. When you call these companies, these insurance companies, these investment companies, so forth, they are not your advisors. They will not say, you know, really shouldn't be doing that. Maybe you should call your advisor or somebody that knows something. I can't give you information. No, they're there to serve your desires and your instructions. And so when you say, I want my money, they say, where should I send it? They don't tell you what the consequences are of getting that money right now, and they can't. But people are misguided to think that they're calling the company so they're getting the best information. They're just getting a clerk, really. Mostly not licensed. They're just there to do the admin
paperwork,
take your paperwork. Instruction. Yeah, they're not even doing the back end stuff. They just basically submit a ticket to get your account liquidated or whatever it should be. But that's the thing that gets me. I had one case once with life insurance where my client called them directly and said, I want to cut my insurance in half. And they said, okay. So they cut her insurance in half. It didn't cut her bill in half. It didn't. And so that's not how it works. And so when I got wind of this, I fought and clawed and screamed and hollered, and they reversed it because they had no business doing that. In my opinion, I was the broker of record. I'm on the account. Let me at least advise the client that they should talk to me in a case like that, because like, or even ask, why would you want to cut your bill and your insurance in half? She thought in her mind, it just cuts the bill in half. It did not. She had the same.
You're 100% right.
The insurance. It's,
As a matter of fact, when you call 1-800, they'll read you a disclosure that says, we are not tax consultants. For any tax guidance, consult your tax preparer or your CPA or your accountant. They'll actually go tell you that. They're not there to give advice. They are not legally allowed to give advice.
Right.
Which is why we do what we do and why we are the comprehensive with that financial director in the center.
Yeah.
And so all these kind of things are not missed.
Well, this has been super eye-opening for sure. We could probably go on and on. I can't believe how much time's gone by. It's like we're kind of geeky that we like this kind of conversation, but it's exciting and it's interesting. And we're hoping, and really the reason we're having it is to enlighten people listening to the fact that unless you went to school and you are, you know, you keep yourself schooled in this area, because it's constantly changing. As you said, the laws just change. You got to keep up with it. I often said, God, if I'm going to be a tax attorney, I might as well just be a brain surgeon, because you have to keep up with all these rule changes. And you have to know the ones that were prior as well, because some things are grandfathered. There's so many things.
Exactly.
So I just want to thank you for coming today and telling us all this and having this conversation. But I'd like you the opportunity to tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they could maybe participate in some of the workshops that you're doing on a regular basis, and just give them a little bit more information about reaching out and possibly getting a consultation from you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you again, Stacey. Thank you for the opportunity. And yeah, we have physical offices in Maryland and Florida, but we have clients all over the United States. We have virtual meetings just like this, and we do not need to be in the same state to work together. So we have clients all over the United States. We can work with anyone in any state. That's the first thing. The second thing is you can reach us at our main line is 410-908-9293. Our website is www.financial1wmg.com. Again, all our contact information is on there, as well as workshops that we have. We do some live in Maryland as well as Florida, and we do virtual events as well. So they could find that information on there. If they're interested in attending a virtual workshop, just call our office and we'll get you on the list for the next one. And even at our workshops, which are about an hour and a half, I always say we could be here all day talking, because we've only scratched the surface. Like, there's just so much, especially when you talk about all five areas of financial planning. There's just so much to talk about. And we have just put a tiny scratch on the surface today, just in estate planning and IRA accounts.
Right. So when people make or they amass a lot of money, it's generally because they're expert in their field. So if you're expert in your own field, you really can't be expert, you know, in Tatiana's field too, because that's a full-time job. So people need to realize they need help. And it always amazes me when someone famous passes away that they haven't taken care of this, or they haven't been given proper advice. It blows me away. It happens year after year. You know, when Sammy Davis Jr. His wife had to auction off all of his things because he was in the hawk with the IRS. That was many, many years ago. And then we've got Prince with the same kinds of things happening in our modern time. So I think it's a lesson that is very hard for people to grasp. And it is one of the most important things that you need to do, and take the time to get the proper advisor so that you know that all of your hard work is not going to just go back to, you know, Uncle Sam, who's not really related to you, by the way.
So. Exactly. And Stacey, you're right again. And, you know, people don't plan to fail. People fail to plan. And that's what goes on with everyone you just brought up in the famous world. And I'm also always shocked every time, because those are huge estates. They're, you know, 8 million, 10 million, 20 million, 30 million estates that there was no planning done. It's crazy. It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. Well, like I say, we could talk all day on this, and maybe another time we'll have you on a different topic. And
that'd be great.
We could definitely do that. So I'll wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for listening today. I'm hoping that you got some value, and I believe you got a ton of value today with Tatiana. Thank her again for coming from all the way from Maryland. So, and I'm in California, so we've been virtual friends. So this is great. So I'm going to be signing off, and I want to just, before I do that, invite you again to visit the website that I have, which is gotittogethernow.com. And the course on calling the emergency info file will be released in this month of October. We're already in October. And so there is a wait list that you could join if you were interested to be one of the first. So in that, I'd like to sign off. Stacey Golden Lisnock, and we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Legacy Therapy Podcast. If we hit it out of the park today and you learned at least one new thing to take action on in your own quest to planning the best legacy possible, then be sure to tell your friends, subscribe, and rate and review wherever you get your podcast. The show notes will provide the sites and information that were discussed today. You can get more great tips, resources, and inspiration by visiting our website, LegacyTherapyPodcast.com.